We begin the current daf Masechet Pesachim daf Nun. We begin three lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara interestingly has a segues from what it was discussing. As Rashi explains that since on the previous daf we had mentioned the Mishnah, what is the requirement for a person to, when he's going to go somewhere, whether for a mitzvah purpose or a non-mitzvah purpose, that he has to go back home to burn the chametz that he forgot to burn, or could he just be mevatel b'libo? Then the Mishnah mentioned another related topic, when someone has besar kodesh, sacrificial meat, which came from, for example, a kachim kalim that went out of the chayma, the wall of Yerushalayim. Once it leaves that area, it becomes pasul because of yetzi, it left the confines of where it could be. Then someone has to burn it. That the Mishnah discussed, up until how far was it that a person went for past Tzofim or not, that would require him to go back and burn it in the on the Har Bais, or he could burn it wherever it is. So Rashi tells us that since we were discussing leaving Yerushalayim, the gates of Yerushalayim, as we said, so too, Misha Yatzim Yerushalayim, well, like we just said, so therefore the Gemara begins with this Parsha, which is a pasuk in Zechariah and Perek Yudal, with the different Sukkim there in that Perek, that talks about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately will expand the area of Yerushalayim. So we're talking about leaving that area. Ultimately, this area is going to be even bigger than it is right now. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk in Zechariah. V'hoye bayemahu, it's going to be on that day. Lo yia'er, there won't be any more light. Yikaros v'kifoyim. Now, the Gemara asks, my yikaros v'kifoyim, what does this mean that there won't be any more this light that will be yikaros v'kifoyim? So the Gemara gives three interpretations of this. Amr Balazza, he says, Ze'er. It's a reference to when we said there won't be any more light. That is, Sheyakr Ba'ilam Hazeh. That's the word Yukaris, which is precious in this world. And that is when the sun is shining in this world, it's mighty and it has a lot of light. That's very chashiv and yakr in this world. However, V'kafoy, however, that will be light, La'ilam Haba'ah, in the world to come. And that's what we're saying, Ba'yemahu, that was sort of this, what's powerful now, is going to be like nothing compared to what's going to be in the world to come. Second interpretation the Gemara brings, Rabbi Yechon Amar, El Negoim Va'Alis. This is a reference to the most difficult parts of the Torah regarding the laws of Negoim and the Atumah that's in the oil. Shikarin Hein Ba'il Mazeh, that the Yakaris, they're difficult, they're heavy in this world. Kafuin Hein Ba'il Mabob, they're going to be light, almost like nothing compared to the what's going to be in regards to the Torah in the world to come. Third interpretation, Rabbi Shuben Levi Amar, says, El B'nei Adam Shikarin Hein Ba'il Mazeh. That's a reference to people that are chashiv, these are the wealthy people that are not really so good with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're considered prestigious in this world, v'kafuin heim lo'em habo, but they're going to be like nothing in the world to come. As the Gemara illustrates with an incident, ki hod Rav Yosef, b'reid Rav Shuman Levi, cholash v'isnagid, he became ill, and he, so to speak, passed away. He had an outer body, he was out of it, he had passed away, ki hod, when he came back to life, Amar le'avua, his father told him, my chaz, what you see? Because he realized that he had gone on to the next world, but then came back down. So Amar le'avua, he said, Oilu hafakris, he says, unbelievable thing. I saw in topsy-turvy world. I saw el yoinim, those that were in this world, chashiv, lamata, they were nothing up there. Whereas v'tachtoin lamal, those who were nothing in this world, were distinguished up there. So Amar le'avua, he said to him, Bini, my son, oilim bari, so you saw a very clear world. Now our world is the world of Sheker. You don't really see everything, but there everything was exactly how it's supposed to be. It says Vanan, what about Tamid Chacham like us? Hechi Hasam, what type of stature do we have up there? So it says Ki Hechi Yisanan Hacha, just like we are over here. Hachesin Hasam, that's exactly how we are up there, and that's because of the Emes that there are in Tamid Chacham. We have the same status up there in El Habam. Moreover, Vishamati Shayim, I heard that they were saying, Asher Misha Balakan v'tamudu b'yadi. Praiseworthy is someone that comes here, reference to the world to come, and he has his learning in his hands. B'shamati Shayim, I also heard that they said, Harugi Malchus, ein odem yochalam b'michitzas. I heard that those who get killed by the government, there's no one that could stand in the area where they are. U'maninu, who are these type of people? As the Gemara said, Ilim Rebbe Kiva Chaverv, it's a reference to Rebbe Kiva and his friends, which are the Asur Harugi Malchus. These were the ones that they were killed by the Roman government. Mishum Harugi Malchus V'su Loi, we would say that they're on such a high level because they were killed by the government. That can't be. They had unbelievable malice because they were the biggest Tamil Chum in all of Klal Yisrael. El Harugi Loid, rather it's a reference to those who were killed in Loid. These were two brothers they were Mois and Nefesh to save the Jewish people, that there was the king, the daughter of the king that was found murdered, and they placed the blame on the Jewish people, and they wanted to know who was it that killed them, and they made believe that it was them, and they were killed, Al-Kiddush Hashem, they were Mois and Nefesh, and that was, in that schus, that they were killed by the government, that was why no one could stand the mechitzas. Now the Gemara continues quoting over there in Zechariah, It says also by Yemahu that in that day, Yia al Metzilas Hasus, that they will be on the Metzilas of the horse, Kodesh LaHashem, that will be sanctified for Hashem. So the Gemara says, my Metzilas Hasus, what is this that we're saying that on that day they will be on the Metzilas of the horse, it will be Kodesh LaHashem, holy to Hashem. So the Gemara gives a few interpretations. Omer B'Shuma Levi, as we were speaking about before, this idea about expanding Yerushalayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately expand Yerushalayim, how far will HaKadosh Baruch Hu expand Yerushalayim, until the amount that a horse runs and that there's going to be a shadow. And that is, the amount a horse could run until midday. Because this, that what the Gemara is calling umetzel, that it causes a shadow, it means that the shadow will be under the horse. That's because all the other hours of the day, the sun is on the side, it creates a shadow. That's by the person and by an animal, it'll be on the side. So if, let's say, the sun is on the east of the person, so the shadow is going to be on the west. But by midday, the sun stands right on top of the rikia, so it's on top of the person's head, and therefore then the shadow is only directly beneath the object. You don't see any shadow on either side. So that's by midday, that's how far a horse could run from the morning till midday. That's exactly how far Yerushalayim is going to be expanded. That's Metzilas Hasus, that will be Kodesh LaHashem. Second interpretation, the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Amar, all the bells, like from the word of tzeltzel, which is a bell that they hang on the horse for beauty and to make noise, bein einav, between its eyes, yeh kodesh l'Hashem, that will be sanctified for Hashem, that it will give all these nedavis from the Jewish people to the Beis HaMikdash, that will be by Yemahu. And finally, the third pshat the Gemara brings, Rabbi Yechon Amar, kol biza shebeis nisol, all the spoils of war that the Jewish people take from the non-Jews on one day, until the time that a horse runs and causes the shadow, in other words, up until noon, that will be holy to Hashem, that they're going to bring everything that they took from the first half of the day of the spoils, it's all going to be brought as in the dove. So now the Gemara discusses these three interpretations. According to that last pshat that we said, that's regarding the spoils of war, that's how far it takes a horse to run, which means from the morning till noon, they're going to bring that as in the dove by Yom Hahu in the future. So that's what it says in the pasuk over there, that v'haya hasiris beveis Hashem, that the pots will be in the house of Hashem, ki mizrakim lifnei hamizbeach, like the bowls that were in front of the mizbeach, and that is, even the pots will be of gold and silver, just like there was by the mizbeach, how they used to use it, made out of gold and silver, that there's going to be so much spoils of war, up till noontime, that even the regular pots that people cook in, which are usually not gold and silver, will be made out of gold and silver. Elamanda mamalach tarati, but according to two other interpretations, what is the pasuk then continuing to say? That the pots in the house of Hashem will be like the Mizrakim, but that has no relevance whatsoever. According to the first interpretation, it's not talking about any Nedavis whatsoever, because it's still talking about the expansion of Yerushalayim. And according to the other interpretation, that it says Metzilas Hasus, that it was the bells of the horse. There's not that many bells. It's not going to be such a Nedavit Hashem to say that it's going to be Kodesh LaHashem, that's the Chiddush. So what is this that it's going to be, that even the bowls will be made out of gold and silver? And that the Gemara answers, according to those two interpretations, Milsa Chrit Kama, what the Pasuk there is talking about something else. The Misasri Yisrael, that the Jewish people will become wealthy, Umisnadvi, and then they will donate, not unrelated to the Metzilas Hasus. It's not the Metzilas Hasus that they're giving. That's only according to the Peshat of that it's the Biza. According to the one that it's talking about that the bells or that the expansion of Yerushalayim, it's just saying something else, that they will also become wealthy. Umaisin, they're going to bring, and again, it's a different Besura Taiva, unrelated to the first half of Metzilas Hasus, according to those two interpretations. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlam Amandam Abiza, again, according to the last pshat that it was told about the bees and the spoils, so then again we could understand what the pasuk there says. There's not going to be any more merchants, Beveis Hashem Tzavokis, in the house of Hashem. In other words, they won't need any more someone that's in charge of the business dealings of the possessions of Hekdesh, because there's going to be so much wealth from all the spoils, they're not going to need a manager to take care of and selling and buying, because they're going to have so much. But according to the two other interpretations, again, that it's the expansion of Yerushalayim, or that's we're talking about the bells of the horse. What does it mean that there won't be any more Kanani, which as the Gemara is going to explain shortly, means it's something that's a merchant. Where do we find that there's going to be so much wealth that it's not going to be necessary as what the Pasuk is talking about? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, The word kenani means ein kan oni. The word is kan oni. There's not going to be veloyia. There's not going to be kan oni. There's not going to be any more paupers. So you're right. There's not going to be an exorbitant amount of wealth, like according to the mandam of Biza, that it was the spoils of war. But there will be a significant amount of wealth that there's not going to be any more people. Now the Gemara asks on that first pshat that we had interpreted, it meant that there was merchants. But kenani menol dikri taga. Where do we find that the word kenani, which generally means a person from the nation of Canaan, that's a reference to a merchant? So the Gemara said, like it says a pasuk in Bereishis, the Yarsham Yehuda says that Yehuda saw Basish Kenani, the daughter of a Kenani man, and then he took her as a wife. So the Gemara asks, my Kenani, what does it mean that it was the daughter of a Kenani? Elim Kenani mamish, if you think it means actual Kenani from the Kenani tribe, is that possible that Yehuda would marry such a girl? Is it possible that something that Avram came and specifically warned for his son Yitzchak, that he made Eliezer his servant, swear to him, do not take from the Canaanite women, and boy Yitzchak v'hirzis Yaakov, and that same thing Yitzchak then went and warned his son Yaakov, where he said, don't take from the Canaanite women, Yehuda Azov and Asov. Now Yehuda, the son of Yaakov, is going to go take a Canaanite woman as a wife? Rather, Bas Gavra Tagara. When it says the daughter of a Canaanite man, it means the daughter of a man that was a merchant. So like it says a pasuk in Hosea, Canaan, the merchant, in his hand are scales of deceit. So you see that the word Canaani means a merchant. And again, that's what the reference to the pasuk, according to that pshat, not the other pshat that there's no kan on it, there's no pauper, but rather according to one that says there's going to be so much spoils that Hektish is not going to need a Kanani, they're not going to need a merchant. And here we see that the word Kanan means a merchant. Vibay Seman, or another source for this, is Mahach from a pasuk in Yeshaya. That says, Asher Sechareha Sarm, that her traders are princes, Kin Oneha, her merchants, Nechbadi Aretz, are the honorable ones of the land. Again, seeing that the word Kanani can mean a merchant. Now the Gemara continues saying that what's going to be Bayemahu, that we're talking about in these Pesukim in Zechariah. So it says over there, Bahaya Hashem Lamelech HaKol HaAretz, that Hashem will be king on the entire earth. Bayemahu, on that day, Hashem Echad Hashemecha, Hashem will be one, and His name will be one. So the Gemara asks, Atu Ha'idno Lav Echadu? What do you say? Now Hashem is not one? Everything is Hashem. How can we say that on that day He'll be one? So Amar Bacha Berchanina, Loi Ko'il Mazah Oil Mabah. This world is not the same as the next world. Ha'il Mazah, in this world, Abbasuris Tayyibis Omer, on good tidings, a person says, Baruch HaTov HaMeitav, Hashem should be blessed that he's good and he does good. But on bad, on evil tidings, a person says, Baruch HaTov, the true judge should be blessed. So we see that it's not complete in some level, Hashem in this world. Layom haba, in the world to come, Kulei HaTov HaMeitav, Hashem is totally good and does good. In other words, that there's not going to be any evil tidings. That's why we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one. In the world to come, there's only going to be, which Hashem is, HaTov HaMeitav. Then the pasuk says, "Shma Yachad," and his name will be one. So the Gemara says, "Ma Yachad." What does it mean? His name will be one. Atu idna lav Shma Yachad. Who? And now his name is not one. What does that mean? Amar Rav Nachman BeYitzchok. Again, loy koil mazeh oil mabah. This world is not the same exactly as the world to come. Ha'oil mazeh nichta biyud hey. This world Hashem is written with the name yud hey. V'nikra ba'alaf dalas. However, we pronounce it. We don't pronounce Hashem's name. We pronounce it in the alaf dalad adoy, and then the word nay. But in the world to come, his name will be one. Nikra b'yudhe v'nichta b'yudhe. He will be written with the yud kei, and it'll also be pronounced with the yud kei. As the Gemara illustrates, the Sava Rava lemidrasha b'pirkei. Rava thought to lecture upon the name of Hashem's four-letter name with the yud kei and the vav kei, and to lecture about it, and the reasons behind it, and all the different secrets about it. Amalei Ahu Saba, so this elder told him, which it's brought down that that's Eliyahu HaNavi, that la'alam ksiv. In the pasuk it says, Zeshmi li'olam, this is my name, Hashem's name, which is the yud kei vav, is forever. It's written without a vav. Li'olam is written li'alam, which is a term of halama, of hiddenness, and that is we do not expound and propound Hashem's name in this world. And similarly, Rav Avinu Rami, Rav Avinu posed it as a contradiction. Siv, it says the pasuk in Shemais, Zeshmi li'olam, again, missing the vav, which means halama, that Hashem's name is hidden. Yet the pasuk ends off, and this is my remembrance for generation to generation, which sounds like Hashem is pronounced. Zichri is that it is remembered, it's mentioned, and not that it's hidden. So that's a contradiction. Another interpretation of Rashi is that it says, this is my name, which obviously that's my remembrance. How could you call him without his name? So what does it mean if Zichri is the way you remember? That's a reference. So what's the two parts of this pasuk that's splitting up the name with the remembrance? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this dichotomy, that loik shani nichtav ani nikra, not the way that I'm written am I pronounced. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught two names to Klai Yisrael, the way it's written and the way it's pronounced. Nichtav ani b'yod hei, I am written. The way Hashem's name is written is with yod kei, but v'nikra ani b'alaf tal. However, the way I'm pronounced is with the term of Adon, of master, but not with yod kei vav kei, and that's why it says Shmi li'aylam, but it says Zichel dar dar, that there's two different components, the way Hashem is written and the way Hashem is pronounced. Hadnu lach elu ivan, we shall return to you, the third perek of Maseches Pesachim, perek elu ivan. Now we begin the fourth perek of Maseches Pesachim, perek makom shenagu. Now this talks about, continue on the theme of Erev Pesach. So Mishnah talks about the minig, about not to do malacha Erev Pesach until Chatzai. That is from Chatzai and on, there is an actual Isser to do after Chatzai certain malachas. However, before Chatzai, from the morning, was a difference of minhagim, and that's where our Mishnah segues into the halachas of minhagim. So the Mishnah begins, Makim shenagu lasis malacha ba'avri pesachim ad Chatzai. And the places where the custom was to do malacha on Erev Pesach until noon, then nice, and then you're allowed to do malacha. Makam shenagu shalai las, in the place where the minig hamakam, the custom of the locale is not to do malacha, and the reason for that would be is that people should not get busy with malachas and they're going to forget to do bir chametz, which is done on Erev Pesach before Chatzais, to slaughter the carbon Pesach and the times when the Beis Hamikdash was around, to getting the matzah ready and all these things which are necessary for the evening. And that's because it's a mitzvah to toil when it's still day, so that when the evening comes, everything will be ready right away. As the Gemara says in the last paragraph of Kavtas Amad Aleph, which is everyone says when they say Kaddish, that the little kid should not fall asleep, that the kid should grab away the matzah, and all these different things are meant so the kid shouldn't fall asleep. So you want to start right away when you come back home to start the Seder. So therefore, we want to take care of everything. So therefore, even before Chatzais, they had a minig no malacha, so we make sure everything is done before the Seder starts at night. So in such a place where there's the minig not to do, then einos, and then you cannot do malacha. So it's pretty obvious, depending on where you are, that's the halacha. However, the Mishnah says, ha'hoylich mimakam sha'isin. Let's say you're coming from a place where they do malacha on Erev Pesach until Chatzais, until noon. But he goes l'makam sha'einosin, to a place where now he's on Erev Pesach, where they don't do malacha before Chatzais. Or the reverse. Mimakam sha'einosin, he's coming from a place where they don't do malacha. But he came l'makam sha'isin, to a place that they do malacha. And that the Mishnah says, we give him the stringencies of the place that he came from and the place that he came to. So depending, it doesn't make a difference. If either one of those variables are there, he's going to be asked to do malacha on Erev Pesach. Continue on to Amud Beis, where the Mishnah continues, v'al yishan ha'adam, a person should not deviate from the minig ha'makam, and the machlek is because of the division that could come from doing different than the minig over there in the place, which the Gemara is going to ask. It's mashma, that if you're coming from a place that doesn't do malacha to the place that does do, he also should not deviate from the minig ha'makam and do malacha up until Chatzais. But we just finished saying that neisin alav chamei makam shayatz misham, that you have the stringency of the place that you came from. So the Gemara is going to address that difficulty. Then the Mishnah says a similar halacha to what we're talking about regarding the minig ha'makam from the place that you came from, the place that you went to, regarding chametz and erev on malacha erev Pesach. Kayetze by similarly, ha'moylich peir shvius. If someone's bringing the produce of shmita here, mimakam shakalu, from a place where it was already eliminated for the wild animals from the fields, and hence that halacha requires that the people from that place have to eliminate it from their house and bring it outside, because that's the criteria for when you can't have it anymore inside if there's no more for the wild animals. So this person is coming from a place where it was already finished, which he would have to go out and bring it out to the public. Now he went Lamakim Shaloi Kolo. He came to a place where it was not finished from what's out in the open, in the wild. And therefore that person can still hold on to it, technically, what in the people from that location, what's inside their house. Or Mimakim Shaloi Kolo, Lamakim Shakolo. Or maybe he's coming from a place that it was not finished yet. Therefore, in the place where he was, they were able to hold on to their stuff. But he's coming to a place where it was already finished. Either way, Chayv Lavar, he has to eliminate his Shemitah again, because we give him the stringency of the place that he came from and the place that he came to. So either one, if it's from where he is or where he is now, that it's already finished, that no one has it anymore, the wild animal doesn't have it, you would have to bring it out. You would have to eliminate it. Rabbi Yehuda, however, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tzeva havi l'cha afat. What do you mean? You go out and bring for yourself also, which the Gemara is going to explain exactly what this cryptic statement means regarding what he's arguing on the first opinion in this Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, on the first halacha that we mentioned, my iriya avi besachem, why did we mention Erev Pesach? And that is, we said that up until Chatzais is a minig. Now, the inference was that from Chatzais and on, is there's an actual Isser, prohibition of doing Malacha. So the question is, why do we have to mention Chatzais to say this inference that, you know, that you should just know that that's a minig, which minig is always, depending on whatever the minig is, it doesn't make a difference when it is. But obviously what we're inferring is that but from Chatzais and on is going to be Isser b'malacha. But then the question is, afila avri Shabbos is v'avri yom tev nami. That's even, it's not just Pesach. Every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yom Tov after that time period is also Isser. The Tanakh will learn the Brisa, Isa malacha b'avri Shabbos of yom tev mina mincha l'mal. If someone does malacha on Erev Shabbos or yom tev, from the time of Mincha and onwards, in a roisim and bracha l'olam, he doesn't see any sign of blessing in the profits that he's making. And therefore, why just mention Erev Pesach? If that's the minig from before Chatzais, you could say that any time. But obviously, you're telling us that regarding the Isser. So the Isser could be said regarding every Erev Shabbos and every Yom Tov. Another thing where it gives two answers. Hasam in a mincha ulamalahu da Isser. There, it was only from the time of Mincha, as it said, which is 9.5 hours into the day. Then it's Isser. However, near the time of Mincha, in other words, before that, from after Chatzais, from after the when it's in the 7th hour up until 9.5, that wasn't Isser, and that's only by Pesach, and that's why we said a chiddush by Pesach. Chacham mechatzais here by Pesach, it's already from noon. Inam, another Teretz Sigmar brings is Hasam Simin Baracha Hu Delei Chazi. As the statement there said that you're only not going to have a Simin Baracha in the Malacha that you're doing after the Zman Mincha and on. However, not going to excommunicate a person that does it. You're just not going to see Simen Bracha if we do Malacha on Erev Shabbos at that time. However, here regarding Erev Pesach, it's a full-fledged Isser, and that is any Malacha done after that, we actually excommunicate the person as one is doing a full-fledged Malacha after Chatzais. It's not like our quotes in whole what we said before, Gufa. Someone does Malacha on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, after the time of Mincha and onwards, or on Erev Yom Tov, Mina Mincha Ulamala. Uba Maitzah Shabbos, and even on Matzah Shabbos. And that is because of the covet, the honor of Shabbos that we add on. There's a halach of Taisah Shabbos. As Rashi explains, it's not only from Erev Shabbos, Taisah Shabbos, but even to add on time of Shabbos, on Matzah Shabbos. Uba Matzah Yom Tov, or if he does Malacha on Matzah Yom Tov, Uba Matzah Mekippurim, Uba Chamakam Shiesham Nidnur Aver, or any place where there's any trace of an Aver related to that, which the Gemara says, what does that mean? Lasui Tainus Tir, but that would include a public fast, which that's us to do malachas, the Gemara Masechta Tainus, and if you'd Bezim, Abez explains that this was when they used to fast because of the rains that weren't there. But that regarding other Tainus Tibur, there is no such halacha. Shmuel says that the stringencies of a Tainus Tibur, which you mentioned over there, do not apply in Bavel because these were only in Eretz Yisrael, that they didn't have the rains. So if someone does malacha in any one of these time periods, Ein Aroy Simen Bracha L'Olam, he does not see a Simen Bracha in the malacha that he's going to do at those times. So related to this, what we spoke about, the Gemara says, Tanaban, Yesh Zaris, and this will be in reference to what we said, that there's the issue of doing malacha on Erev Shabbos. Yesh Zaris, there's someone that does work, v'nisker, and he gains, v'yesh Zaris v'nifser, there's someone that does work, he's quick, he's ambitious, but he loses. Whereas Yesh Shafel v'nisker, there's someone that's lowly and not motivated, not doing a lot of work, v'nisker, and gains, v'yesh Shafel v'nifser, but there's someone that's not moving really, not doing anything, and will lose. How so? How do you have these four different categories? Zaris v'nisker, someone that works and gains, the Avid Kuli Shabbat, because he works the entire week, but however, does not work on Friday. As we said, working on Friday is not being Rai Yisrael Mibracha. Zarz v'nifsa, you could be someone that works and lose. The Avid Kuli Shabbat, because he works the entire week. However, the Avid B'malei Shabbos, he also works in Erev Shabbos. Shafel v'nifsa, you could have someone that doesn't work and yet gain. D'loi Avid Kuli Shabbat, although he doesn't work the entire week, but also v'loi Avid B'malei Shabbos. He also does not work on Erev Shabbos because the whole week he doesn't work. And now, as Rashi says, although he's not intending for the mitzvah, he's just lazy, just sitting around all week, or whatever it is, or just not able to work. However, it's still a mitzvah shaloi lishma. It's still a mitzvah, not for the sake of the mitzvah, but ultimately you're doing it, as the Gemara will later say, that yasik adam mitzvah, afil shaloi lishma. A person should always toil in mitzvahs, even not for the sake of the mitzvah, and that in itself has merit. The fourth category, finally, is shafel v'nifsed, someone that's shuffle. Again, not really working and losing is delay avid kuli Shabbat because he doesn't work the entire week. But va'avid b'mal Shabbat, however, he does work on Friday, which again is not being raya simin bracha. So related to this, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, hani nashi de mechuzah, the women of mechuzah, which were very wealthy and the women didn't work. Avakav delay avdin avidah to b'malei Shabbos, even though they don't do work on Friday, mishum ifan kusahu, it's only because of their delicacy, because they're fine and they're royalty, and it wouldn't be according to their par to go ahead and work. because every day they don't work. Yet still we consider them in the category of shuffle, of people that don't work, but gain, again, because although they're not working on Friday, because then just they never work, however, they gain because ultimately they're not working on Friday, which is a mitzvah shalei lishma. Related to this, the Gemara says that Rava posed a contradiction. Psukim in Tehillim. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki gadol ad shamayim chazdecha, because how great is your kindness up until the heavens. Yet, B'chsiv, it says another Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki gadol mi'al shamayim chazdecha, because how great is your kindness that is above the heavens. So which one is it, up until or even above? Ha ketzad. Now the Gemara says, Kan, when we said that it's above the heavens, that's be'aisin lishma. That's when you do it for the sake of the mitzvah. The Kan, however, that what we said is only up until the heavens, is be'aisin shalei lishma, is when you do it not for the sake, but ultimately you are doing a mitzvah, and that's why that it goes up, at least up until the heavens. Okay, Rabbi Huda, like Rabbi Huda says, and as we quoted before, the Rabbi Huda Marav, la'olam yasik od the mitzvah mitzvahs, a person should always toil in Torah and in mitzvahs, even not for the sake of the Torah and the mitzvah itself. Because through, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, that the only way you can actually reach lishma is shemitech. Through, it's like a ladder. You got to get on the first rung first. Through the doing it, shalei lishma, not for the pure sake, will ultimately bring a person lishma to the pure sake of the Torah and the mitzvahs. Now the Gemara continues on this theme about siman bracha, about seeing some blessings in the work that a person does. So turn about and learn the Braisa. Hametzapala schar yishtev, someone that's hoping and yearning for the pay that his wife is bringing home, v'rechaim, and for the monetary gain of a mill, in eroy siman bracha l'olam, he will never see a sign of blessing forever. Now the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Schar yishtev, the money that his wife makes, means maskulta. It means that she takes a scale in her hands, she goes around in the marketplace, to rent the scale to whoever needs it, which doesn't make a lot of money because people are just using the scale, and it's degrading for his wife for very little money, that's not causing a siman bracha for the type of work that his wife will have to be doing. Richaya, this that we said that a mill will not be roya siman bracha, is agarta. Again, it means the renting of the mill, which is a lot of effort to have the mill maintained and rent it out, and it's very little pay. However, of course, if one purchases a mill and sells it, that's like any other purchasing and selling, which of course can make a person a lot of money. And as the Gemara says regarding the other case too, Aval avdu mizavna, however, if the wife makes this, whether it be the scale or the mill, if she makes it and then she sells it, ishtabuchi mishtabech bakra. To the contrary, that's not that she won't be, that you won't see some bracha from that. Rather, that's what the pasuk praises such a woman. The stuff like it says, the pasuk in Mishlei from the famous Zemra of Eshes Chayil, sadin asasava timker. She makes the linen and she sells it. Yes, purchasing and selling, that can make a lot of money and that could be reisim and bracha. This, though, we said it's not reisim and bracha regarding what the wife is making from the scale. It's talking about that she's not selling the scales. Rather, she's renting it out and it's degrading. That's not reisim and bracha. More on this, the Gemara says, turn up banu, learn the braisa, hamistaker bekanim. Someone that makes money from canes, and that is, these are these small, these thin sticks that are made for walls and for gates, ubekan kanim, and by jars, ain't a roisim bracha l'olam. Someone that makes their money from selling these canes and these jars never sees a siman bracha. Why? My time. Why is this? Kiven the nafish afchazayu. Since they take up a lot of space, there's a lot of mass to these jars and to these canes. Shaltu bu'ena. So people look at this. They see, wow, look at all this stuff. Look at all these trucks coming and going because it's just big items. And it's going to be ayin hara, and truthfully, there's not really that much money to be made. And because of that, a person is not going to see a siman bracha l'olam. Tan Rabban, we learn the braisa, tagrei simta, the merchants of the alleys, and that is, they sit and they sell in the marketplace, and everyone sees them, which is causes an ayin hara. Everyone's seeing that, oh, look how much money he probably is making. Umegadli behemadaka, and those that bring up the small livestock, small little animals, where everyone screams at them because they cause so much trouble. The kaitetze ilan is taivis, and those that chop down good trees to sell the tree for the wood, which everyone's wondering and speaking about him, that look at this, he's taking a good tree and chopping it down, and because of that, again, there's an ayin hara, and everyone's screaming about such a person. And also, and somebody that always, when he splits up, when he shares things with other people and he splits it up, he's always particular to get the best part of it, that these people don't see siman bracha forever. Now, my timer, what's the reason, in particular regarding the last one that we said there, because he wants to get the best part of whatever he's sharing? The tohu be'incha, because people are going to be astonished about such a person, about looking at him every time he gets the best thing, and again, thus causing this ayin hara, and therefore these people will not have a simen bracha li'ayla. Tanaban, similarly, we learn in the Brisa, dal prutis in behem simen bracha li'ayla. There are four coins, which means that the pay that the person gets will not have a simen, a sign of blessing in that pay. And they are schar kaisvin. They are the pay that scribes get. B'schar miturgamin, that's the pay that the interpreters get. And in the times of the Gemara, there was the sage that used to get up to lecture on Shabbos, and the one who would stand right next to him would hear it, and he would give it, he would speak out loud that for the masses, for them to interpret to them what the Talmud Chacham is saying. B'schar yisayim, and the reward, the money of the orphans that when he invests their properties and he takes half their pay. U'mo'is ha'bo'is mi'medin sayam. And money that comes from across the seas, that he sends his ships constantly in areas of danger to go ahead and bring the trade across the sea, these four incomes are not going to have a simen bracha. So the Gemara discusses them. Bishlem mischar mitorgamin. It's very well understood why the pay of the interpreter is not roi simen bracha l'olam. Mishum demechzik schar Shabbos, because it seems like that he's getting paid for work that he's doing on Shabbos, which is usher to do. And truthfully, it could be there's other halachas that he works during the weekday, this havla. It might not actually be awesome, but since people see it, that itself causes that he won't be right simen bracha l'olam. U'maisi saminami, it's also well understood the money of that this person invests from the orphans, that it's not right simen bracha l'olam, because lav b'nei mechilinenu, they're not people, they're too young to go ahead and be meichel, pardon the person for things that maybe they have done wrong in their investments, and therefore that will cause that it won't be right simen bracha. And Mois HaBomis B'Din Ziyam, also money that comes from across the seas, is also well understood that you won't be Rois Simen Bracha. Mishum Delav Kol Yemis Nachas Nisha. It's not every day that a miracle happens. He's always sending it in dangerous waters. Something's going to happen, and therefore it's not a worthwhile endeavor. El Eschar Kayas in my time. But the Gemara wonders, what is it? Why do the scribes not get a Simen Bracha and the money that they're making? Why would that be? So on that, the Gemara says something interesting. Amar Yishum Levi, Chavdal Tainiyas Yashvu Anche Kines Agdele. 24 fasts. The people of the Tamid Chacham, the Tzaddikim of the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, they sat fasting. Al Kaisvei Svarim Tefillin Mezuzas. For those that write the Sifrei Torah, the Tefillin, the Mezuzas, Shelo Yisashrim. They daven that they should never become wealthy. And the reason is Shel Moli Misashrim in Kaisvin. Were they to become wealthy, they wouldn't write anymore because it's not worthwhile for them. And therefore, they daven that they should never become wealthy, so that they should stay in the business, so they need it, so that they will be constantly have those who are writing the Sifrei Torah, the Tefillin, the Mezuzas. Some of the Gemara brings the Brayis Tanur Rabban, Kaisvi Svarim Tefillin Mezuzas, those that write the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin Mezuzas, hain them, v'tagarein, and their vendors, v'tagari tagarein, the vendors of the vendors, in other words, when they sell to those who sell to the others, v'cholo iskin malachas mishashamayim, and all those that toil in this malacha, in this work of heaven, which is to write and to sell the Sefer Torah and items of Kodesh. And what does that include? Lasuyi Meichir Tcheles, that includes those that sell the Tcheles, which are used for the Tzitzis. Einan Rain Simen Bracha Laim. They will never see a Simen Bracha forever. And that's like we said, because if they become wealthy, they're going to stop working and we need them to continue. However, the Brisa says, V'maiskin Lishma, however, if they toil for the sake, that is for the mitzvah that people should be able to have the Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzas, not for the money, then Roy. And then they will see a Simen Bracha, because since they're doing a Lishma, they're not going to stop doing it because of their wealth. And that's why those people could become wealthy, even though they're being involved in Melechus Kodesh. Now the Gemara goes back to what we were speaking about regarding the minig hamakim, the minig of certain places, and that's a chiv to continue that minig. On that the Gemara says, "Bnei Vaishan, the people of Vaishan, nahug deloy hava azlim mitzur letzedin b'malei Shabbat." Their minig, the custom in that city was that they wouldn't go from mitzur to seidan on erev Shabbos, and that is the market day in Sidon was on erev Shabbos on Friday, and they were stringent on themselves not to go to the marketplace, although they were allowed to it Friday. Because then they're going to be bottled, they're going to not completely be involved in the preparations for Shabbos. So the minig was not to go to the marketplace on Friday. So us to Benayu committed Rabbi Yechanan. Now their sons, the next generation, come in front of Rabbi Yechanan. Armalo, they said to Rabbi Yechanan, Avhasin Efshahu. Our fathers were able to keep such a minig, not to go to the marketplace, because they were wealthy. However, Analo Efshalom, it's not possible for us. We can't keep up this minig. What can we do? Armalo, he said to them, Kvar Kiblu Abaysechim Aleihem. Your fathers already accepted this minig upon you. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk initially, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. Hear my son, the rebuke of your father. Al-Tidrash Torah Samecha, and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. That is the source in the Torah for a minig. A minig in Klai Yisrael is Torahi. It has halacha, and therefore one cannot stop the minig, even though it was just a minig and it wasn't something that was aser. But since your fathers accepted upon you, upon themselves, it continues to the sons, and therefore you cannot go, even though it's on Erev Shabbos when it's mutter because of the minig hamakom.